Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to church today. Super excited to be here talking with you guys. My name is Michael Pollock, and I want to just jump right into it. Today we're talking about the reawakening of Christ in the church, and I want to put a picture on the screen. And this guy, his name is Leonard Wilcock, and he was our first U.S. ambassador to China. And an ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. So that means the U.S., we sent Leonard to China to represent our interests, to be our representatives there in China. So that means that our interests, our concerns, and the issues that he's fighting for, they should all be for the good of the United States. Right? Because the U.S. Embassy that is in China is technically U.S. soil. So that's why when you watch all those James Bond movies or Mission Impossible, and they always say, we got to get to the embassy. We got to get there. Because once we go there, we're now on U.S. soil. And I want to say that God has an embassy on the earth. God's embassy is the church. The church has got an embassy, and that brings the values of the homeland into a foreign territory. That's what the church is to do here. The church is not to represent the country it's in, it's to represent the country it's from. Say that again. The church is not to represent the country it's in, it's to represent the country it's from. But if the church forgets its proper ownership and values, it no longer becomes the embassy of hope it was designed to be. It becomes merely a religious institution. Religious institution of the culture around it, misusing the name of Jesus and leading people away from the gospel. But when a church steps boldly into its Christ-given role, it brings heaven down to earth. And I want to ask this question. I'm going to keep asking this question as we go through our time today. And the question is, are we willing to do what it takes to be an ambassador for Christ? Are we willing to do what it takes to be an ambassador for Christ? Because an embassy without ambassadors is like a well without water. It's useless. People will come around it. People will go looking for something to quench their thirst, but nothing will be given to them. Are we willing to do what it takes to be ambassadors for Christ? Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we talk about reawakening your church, as we talk about realigning what it means to be your church, I just pray for our hearts this morning. I pray that our hearts are soft. I pray that that this message comes across as loving and not as a condemnation, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And I pray for action. I pray that this spurs us on. I pray that this moves us to repent, to turn away if we have been doing things that does not honor and serve you well. Father, I pray for grace, pray for mercy, pray for peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, if we want to be ambassadors of Christ, we have to embrace a couple things. We have to embrace and we have to live out the fact that the church is an identity and not an activity. The church is who you are, not something you do. Our passage, I'll read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who from Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Jumping to verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. Our culture has taught us that our value and our worth is in what we do. And that's why when you meet someone and you just met someone, what is the first question you probably ask them? What do you do? Right? Because that's our culture. It values what you do. And really, as I was going through this, I said, you know what we do? We start to rank people in our mind about how valuable they can be to us depending on what they do. So, for example, 10 years ago, when someone would say, hey, Michael, what do you do for work? I would say, I hang on the back of a garbage truck and I go throughout the city and I pick up garbage. And in their mind, they will rank me a certain way. And now, 10 years later, they'll say, hey, Michael, what do you do? I say, I'm a pastor. I'm a church plant. I'm starting a new church here in Toledo. And then now they'll rank me in a different spot in their mind. And depending on the person, I'll have a different value and different worth to them. Some people think being a pastor is very great and being a trash man is not so much. But there are some people who I come across and they don't think being a pastor is great. They think all pastors are schemy and they want your money. And they say, oh, you're a trash man. You work with your hands. Good, good. So depending on the person, they value either way. And this teaching has crept into the church as well. Because we value people based on what they have done for the institution. But we don't see that in Scripture. We got to look at what Scripture says about our identity. Because I'm an American. I'm an American because I was born in the United States, not because the job I hold. I'm a Christian because of who I am in God, not the good works I do here on earth. It's an identity of who we are. The church is an identity, not an activity. Have you guys ever heard of the baptismal identity? We have, like, when we say Father, Son, and Spirit, we're not just saying names. We're baptized in the name of the Father. That means we're family. Right? John 13, verse 35. When Jesus was leaving, was on his way to leave the disciples, he said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Men from all different walks of life, loving each other like family. Your love will prove that you are my disciples. We're baptized in the name of the Son. That means we were now servants. If I had to sum up Jesus' ministry in one verse, it would be Mark chapter 10, verse 45. He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are servants. And we don't do what the culture does, because what the culture does is the leaders on top, they oppress the people on the bottom. But the church said, you know what, we're going to flip it upside down. And now the leaders, we're going to serve those who are under us. We are servants. Because we're baptized in the Spirit, we are now witnesses, or we are now ambassadors. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We are the instrument God is using to show people on earth of who God is. That's why when you believed in Christ, he didn't just take you to heaven then. He said, now there's more work to do. You will represent me on the earth as my ambassadors. The church is an activity. The church is an identity, not an activity. And when we embrace that, we no longer have to wear the mask that says perfect person. We can take them off, and we can be fully known because we are loved, because of who we are in Christ. The second thing we have to embrace, we have to live out, is that the church is a people and not a place. Kirk just said that earlier. The church is a people and not a place. And we have to be real honest. I'm going to ask this question, and I want us to be honest with one another. Do our Sunday morning services make us the church, or do we have Sunday morning services because we are the church? You guys hear the difference? Do our Sunday morning services make us a church? But is coming here making us a church? Or are we coming here because we're already in a church all week long and we're coming here to celebrate what God is doing in the world? Because if the church, if we're just gathering together and this makes it a church, I think we're missing a mark. I'm not sure that's what Jesus called his community to do. Because in the scriptures, we don't see anywhere where the church just gathered once a week. And it said, because we gather, we are the church. We don't see that. It's impossible for us to live out the one another verses together for 1 hour a week where people like me do most of the talking. Did you know that the word Christian started off as a derogatory statement? It was an insult. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. So it was for the whole year they assembled with the church and taught great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The culture around them pointed and assaulted them and said, you guys are acting like little Christ. You guys are acting like Christians. And that was an insult from the culture. But the church said, you know, we're going to embrace that because that's what we want to look like. We want to look like our Savior. We want to look like Christ. And what that tells me is that their life, it just wasn't a once-a-week service. That's what it tells me when I read that. That all of their life was transformed by the power and work of Jesus Christ. Do our Sunday morning services make us a church? Or do we have our Sunday morning services because we are the church? And to help frame this a bit better, let's talk about what the church, when the church isn't a people. The church isn't a people when the people are disconnected from one another. How can we love one another? How can we serve one another? How can we encourage one another if we are not connected with one another? People love to quote Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 10 and say, this is the reason we go to church. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, don't forsake the gathering. Meet up. Go to church. Go for an hour a week. And then they say, good job. Right? Make sure you go to church because of Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to read it soon, but when we read Hebrews chapter 10, what they're talking about is, the author of Hebrews, we don't know who it is, but the author of Hebrews is saying we need to be connected when we meet together. The goal is to be connected, not just to be in the same building. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This verse is not about coming to church. This verse is about being the church. The church isn't the people when the people are not on mission. We're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Spirit. We are God's witnesses. We are his missionaries. We are his representatives here on earth. God is telling us to show people how his kingdom works by how we live. And we have to go to them. Right? They're not going to come in these, everyone's not going to come in these doors. We have to go to them. Why? Because men love darkness instead of light. Don't believe me? Just turn on the news. We have to go to them. Jesus was talking with his disciples, and then they asked him the question. They said, hey, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. This is their response, the disciples. And some said, John the Baptist. Others said, Elijah. And others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And here's the thing about gates. They are a defensive mechanism. They are designed to keep things out. They're saying, hey, something, we put a gate up because something needs to be stopped. We need to put a border. And what Christ is saying is, there is nothing that's going to stop my church from advancing. Not even the gates of hell will stop my church from advancing. And how I do that is my ambassadors are going to go out and they're going to take back territory that the enemy has stolen. The church is not the church here is not a moment on the weekend. It's a movement that not even hell itself can slow down. When we are connected and living out the mission together, we are living out the fact that the church is a people and not a place. And how we do that here at First Alliance is life groups. I'm going to plug life groups. Because this is how we live it out. We don't want to just talk from the pulpit and say we're doing these things. This is what we say, get connected, and it's not for our benefit, it's for your benefit. Because this is what Christ had designed us to do. He didn't design us to live life by ourselves. Because when do you do the most sin? When you're with people or when you're by yourself? You don't have to answer that. We're designed to be in relationship together. We're designed to go on mission together. To be an evangelist is not just one guy with a great gift. It's when the body goes out and people see us out on the mission field, they say, those Christians, there's something different about them. Get connected. Talk to me. I'm the life group leader. Talk to me. I would love to get you guys connected with the life group. Are we willing to do what it takes to be ambassadors for Christ? The church is an identity, not an activity. The church is a people and not a place. The church should be a reflection of the kingdom and not of the culture. The church should be a reflection of the kingdom and not of the culture. About 5 years ago, I went down to the Dominican Republic and I went to go build houses. We had three houses we were going to build there in the Dominican Republic. And at one of our building sites, we had some leftover food. So we said, you know what? Let's walk around the neighborhood. Let's give out some food and let's be a blessing to those who don't have that much. So we're walking around and it's me, my pastor, and our translator. Her name is Yanni. And we're giving people food, and people are super excited to see us. They're blessed. And then we go down this one street, and there's a house with the door open. You know, the door is open, but the screen door is closed. And Yanni, she goes up, and she just opens the door and walks in. And me and my pastor, we're like, whoa, you can't just walk into someone else's house. Like, again, she didn't know them. She didn't know who they were. She just walked into the house because the door was open. And we were afraid because we have an American culture. And we say, hey, if you do that in America, you'll probably get shot. But we were in a different culture. And the elderly lady comes out. She was so happy. And she took the food. And she was so gracious. And me and my pastor, we were just kind of dumbfounded. And I said, Yanni, why don't you just walk into that person's house? She said, because the door was open. I walked in. We were in a different culture. And what I'm saying is, when the people are around the church, when they're interacting with the church, they should leave that interaction feeling as if they were in a different culture. They should leave that interaction feeling as though they were in a different culture. There should be grace instead of cancel culture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift from God, not a result of works, so no one can boast. When someone makes a mistake, when someone does something wrong, our first response shouldn't be to cancel that person. We have been given so much grace. Like, I don't understand. I just don't understand, because we're given so much grace. How can we cancel someone over one mistake? The church should be grace-filled. Shouldn't be canceling people. The church should be a place where all people are valued instead of racism and sexism. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave or free. There is neither male or female. You are all one in Christ. Do you know that women in the first century flocked to the church? Because in the church, they were treated as people and not property. Church is a game changer. And we need to step into that and say, in the church, everyone has value. Everyone's voice is at work. There is no junior Holy Spirit. All people have value. In the church, we should have loyalty to the king instead of loyalty to a political party. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Timothy is saying this to Paul is saying this to Timothy. He says, join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. For this is a key verse, verse 4. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Paul is saying, the people of God, our main concern of us is spreading Christ and making Christ known. Not who's in the White House. That's not our primary concern. Vote, yes. I'm not saying don't vote. Don't hear what I'm not saying. What I am saying is, where's your loyalty to? It should be to the king, not a party. When we leave our gatherings, when people leave our gatherings, when people leave our presence, they should feel as though the interaction was a different culture. And when that happens, we will see the kingdom reflecting, the church reflecting the kingdom and not the culture. So we looked at three things. The church is an identity, not an activity. The church is a people, not a place. And the church is a reflection of a kingdom and not the culture. And these are the three things that is the heart of our new church plant. If you don't know, my name is Michael, and I'm the church planting resident here at First Alliance Church. And what that means is First Alliance has brought me on board last year, and they're training me, and they're assisting me, and they're gonna help me launch a church here in Toledo. And there are a couple of different ways that churches do that, a couple of different church planting models, right? We have the parachute model. And this model is one pastor, he kind of comes into a new community, he doesn't know anyone, and he just says, I'm going to start a church here. Kind of like Paul in the New Testament. He just goes to places and Christians emerge. Right? We have the parachute model. We have the multi-site model. And it said, okay, man, we're doing, the leadership is the same at the hub church, but then we have different other churches around the city, and they're live streaming this, and they have church in there, and it's multi-site. So there's one main leadership group, and there's a multi-site of churches. And we have a mother-daughter church model. And this is where the church brings in or raises a pastor and sends them out with a core team. And that core team starts a new church. And in this model, we typically see evangelism in both churches, the mother church and the daughter church, and the mother church is usually revitalized as well. If you guys don't know, we're part of the Alliance, and the Alliance have not planted a church in this district for 8 years. First Alliance has not planted a church in decades. God, guys, God is on the move. And he's saying, this generation, we're going to be a part of something new. We're going to start a movement of church plantings. Not just mine, but when I leave, another one's going to come. And we have decided here to pursue the mother-daughter model, which you see up there. And the name of our new church plant is called Visible Church. We're called Visible Church because we believe that the tangible touch of God should become visible in the lives of the people of Toledo. That's our vision. The tangible touch of God, that's a blessing, should become visible in the lives of the people of Toledo. Our mission is to partner with God for his glorification by the lost being found and the found reflecting him. And we believe the best way to do that is what we call the micro church. And there's a new expression, new way of doing things. But simply put, the micro church is a family of missionary servants sent as disciples who make disciples. And there's three ways to be a part of this new church plant. The first team we have a core team. We're launching a core team. And this team, it feels like God is calling them to join this new church plant long term. So they're saying, you know what, man, I'm super excited about this. And I feel like God is calling me. And that's what you're gonna hear me say a lot. It's not what I want you to do, it's what is God calling you to do? Because people ask me, Michael, why'd you move from New Jersey to Toledo? And my response is, God called me here. That's it. God called me here. So what is God calling you to do? Is God calling you to be a part of this church long term, this new church plant? You can also be part of the startup team. The startup team is you feel like God is calling you to the church plant short term, maybe a year or two. I would love to get this thing off the ground, and I would love to do this more. I'm called to it short term. And the executive team is, I feel like God is calling me to financially support this new church. God has given me resources I built up, and then I feel like God is calling me to support this church long term. February 6th at 12 p.m., we're going to have a meeting in the youth center lobby. We're going to go over more of what this means. I'm going to talk more about the church and how you can be a part in descriptions. But I just want to give you a brief overview today of what we're doing and how God is on the move in Toledo. But I still want to answer this question that we started out in the beginning. Are we willing to do what it takes to be ambassadors for Christ? Are we willing to do what it takes? Because to be an ambassador is not a part-time job. You can't say, yeah, I'm an ambassador sometimes, but other times I'm not. Because think about it. When we sent Leonard Wilcock over to China, even when he clocked out for the day, he was still an ambassador for the United States. When he walked down the street, when he went out to dinner, when he thought no one was watching, he was still representing the United States. And we have the same task as Christians. In all aspects, we are representing Christ in all we do and say. Are we willing to do what it takes? It takes full commitment to be an ambassador of Christ. God has left us on earth to show people who are living in darkness how glorious, how marvelous, how wonderful it is to be in the presence of God. It's full commitment, guys. Please stand.